possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy throne of mercy this morning, knowing, Father, that you are ending all things here on earth. You're in the process, O God, and so, Father, we ask that you, as you're getting your bride ready for the going home, may we be a yielded servant, may we be a yielded vessel, O God, to the changing of our spirit, the changing of our soul, to become united with Christ the Word. For as husband and wife were two, they now become one. And so, Father, we ask you as we continue to study Christ as a mystery of God revealed, that you would help us, O God, to soften our hearts toward thee and to what you are about to do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to continue with just one thought from paragraph 291 of Brother Bram's sermon, Christ as a mystery of God revealed, where Brother Bram said, "Oh, the devil's howling about this, the manifested truth of the promise of the Word in her alone." Let me just put that up so you can see that for yourselves. "Oh, how the devil's howling about this, the manifested truth of the promise of the Word in her alone." Manifested truth. What does the word manifested mean? Think about that. Manifest the truth of the promise of the Word in her alone. They don't have the answer. When Jesus come, why didn't those Pharisees? Well, he said, "If I cast out devils by the finger of God, who do you cast them out by?" He stood alone, and his church stands alone. She's not hooked with nothing. But he was identified by God being the body that God dwelled in, and the church is identified by his body doing the same thing. She is his body, the manifested truth of his promised word for the last days. And she alone stands by it. That's why the devil is howling. These great organizations set up something to close her up. They'll never do it. She'll be taken up, not closed up. Now notice this manifestation of God in Christ and Christ in the church is completed by her doing what he did. That's John 14:12. Now we know that we stand alone on this, but it matters not what men might say, because Jesus himself stood alone, and so must the bride stand alone. From the palm of worm, locust, and caterpillar, Brother Bram said, "How can you worship lest you know what you're worshiping? How can you be spiritual lest you have the Holy Spirit in you? If you're all tied up in a bunch of church creeds, well, what about it?" That's the problem we have today. Most people, most churches, most ministers are tied up in a creed. They're what the creed that their church stands for. Now, what's a creed? It's a belief. What is that? It's a doctrine. It's a teaching. And instead of being focused on Christ, who is supernatural, by the way, they're focused on an ism, on a theology. Now, notice that if you're all tied up with a bunch of church creeds, it will make you act like church people. And dignified and religious and things like that, that's all good. Moral acts. But brother, you've got to be born again by the genuine Holy Ghost that only comes by the Word of God. And the true Word of God, when it comes into you, it'll manifest the truth. Notice, it'll manifest the truth. Not talking it, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry if I'm a little bit frustrated this morning. Not just talking the Word. Not just, "Lord, bless you, my brother." It's going to come out in the way you live. It's going to come out in your actions. The word manifest means something. We're going to look at what it means this morning. Because it'll, when it comes into you, it will manifest the truth. He, the Holy Ghost, when he'll come, he'll testify to me. He'll manifest the truth. He'll take the things that I've showed you, took things that I have said, and will show them to you. The Holy Ghost will. What he'll do, there he is. Now notice is that all your creeds will do for you is to make you act like those who hold on to the same creeds. Church people. And Brother Bram said the two spirits are so close, it'll deceive the very elect. He said one is the Holy Ghost, that's the good spirit. And the other one, he says, is a church spirit in a church people. They got the spirit of their church. Now, there's a difference between the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of some church. The doctrine of Christ is not a passive revelation by any means. It is a dynamic experience with God. Jesus said in Mark 4:22, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." So if everything must be manifested, then why do you shy away from believing the bride is to manifest Christ's life? Why do people think John 14:12 is error, when if you don't manifest what he said to manifest, it shows you ain't got nothing? Every seed will manifest what it is. And believe me, before the end, there won't be any unbelievers sitting in this church. There won't be. They'll have to leave. And Brother Brown said, the make-believer hangs around looking for fault, looking to find fault, instead of being filled with the Holy Ghost that says he's long-suffering, he's gentle, he's peaceful, he believeth all things. And Paul said, we are all things in Christ. He hopeth all things. But the devil will get on like a spirit. He is a spirit. He'll get on like Brother Brown talked about the stirrups in the woman's ears, you know, riding her, giving her direction. And the devil will mount his wings around people, and the gossip will flow because it's flowing. It's still flowing. Good grief. I wish some of those people, I'm sorry. I wish some of the people had never come down. Because they're still causing trouble. They're still sending gossip. They're still speaking gossip. And yet, they're saying that, well, anyway, just, I'm sorry, people, I'm really sorry, but it just disturbs me that people are still fussing over things that were done by others that came down a year ago. A year ago. Why? That's not the Holy Ghost bringing that to your remembrance. That's the devil. Now, in Mark 4:22, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither has anything been kept secret that shall not become abroad." I had a nice talk with a brother in Florida yesterday. And we got to talking about manifestation of seeds. Every seed is got to be manifested by the light. That's why you can see people hanging around this message for 20 years, 30 years, and just staying the same, blah, blah, blah. But when the truth hits them, when the light shines, they've got to manifest what they are. Jesus said himself in his prayer to his Father, John 17:6, "I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." And if Jesus came in his Father's name and manifested his Father's name, what about us who call ourselves Christians? Are we manifesting Christ because we call ourselves Christians? Or do we just call ourselves oneness or two-ness or twinity or three-ness or whatever? You understand? Are we manifesting Christ? John 14:21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." Now, the same John who quoted Jesus telling us that he will come to us and manifest himself personally to us also said in John 3:21, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest where they came from, that they are wrought in God, that they had their source in God." We come to the truth, and what happens? We manifest. On the rising of the sun, Brother Brown said, "Well, how can the bride come and fail to manifest everything that was promised of him? And the groom come, and he wouldn't be the bride? But when he did everything, even to proving it by raising himself from the dead afterwards, then don't the bride have to do the same thing? Have to be exactly what the word said that she'd be in the last days? Don't she have to return through Malachi 4? Don't she have to be manifested like it was in the days of Sodom? Don't the world and everything have to be just exactly like it is? Isn't these things a perfect identification of the word of God made known to us?" How can people say that we go through this message with a theology and we're going to make it? The rapture is in process. You know that. We're just waiting for the fulfillment of a few things to get out of here. And we got people that are hothouse plants. I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but I'm talking about the younger generation. They're weak. And some of the older generation, they're weak. Where's the ruggedness? You know, Brother Branham said, faith has hair on his chest. Where is the hair on the chest? Where is the manliness? Where is the personal, intimate walk with Jesus Christ that you don't care what anybody does, except for what you do? Because what you do is all important between you and God, not what somebody else does or what you think somebody else did. In other words, if the setting today is as it was when Sodom was burned, there was a man who came to Abraham, and that man was God incarnate in the veil of flesh, and he discerned the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, if that same scene is to take place again today, and it has to, then there are two parts to that scene. There's two players in it. There's the one who came with a discernment, and there's one who received the one who came with a discernment. You see, that's your part. John 14:12 isn't just one person. John 14:12 is everyone that's involved in the great play of God. You understand? In other words, if the setting today as it was in Sodom, now, there is one who had the sign of Messiah, and there are those who believed and received the sign of Messiah. There was God in flesh, and there was Abraham. Right? And so when Brother Bram speaks of everything having to be the same, he's talking about the world has to be in a sodomite condition, which it is, and there would be a ministry of God in flesh discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there would be those who received the promised word for that season, which promised word was of receiving a promised son. First Abraham and Sarah had to believe it, then receive it, and then act upon it to produce the child. Oh, I thought we just had to have it up here. I thought we just had to have some theology. No. Abraham and Sarah received the promise and they acted upon the promise. People want to go around and say, well, Joseph Branham was a spoken word child. Joseph Branham, listen, Joseph Branham was not a spoken word child. That child came through a physical act, or he would have been the Son of God. You understand? Then if we are royal seed of Abraham, then what Abraham manifested in this hour, we must also manifest in this hour. And he was not the one who came with the sign of Messiah, but he received the one who came with the sign of Messiah. Now, God's provided a place of worship, Brother Bram said, but he promised just before the coming of the end, the world would get like it was in Sodom when a man came down in human form, three of them, two angels and God himself. That was God. The Bible said it was. Well, who are the two angels? They came to Sodom. Now, who are the two angels that came to Sodom? In this Sodom, this side. Bill Graham and Oral Roberts, right? He came down and he manifested himself there by turning his back to the tent where Sarah was and told Abraham what Sarah was thinking in that tent. I was just listening to a tape this morning and Brother Branham turned his back to a woman and told her what was wrong with her. That's right. Now, Jesus himself said, at the day when the Son of Man is being revealed, in other words, the Son of Man, the ministry of Jesus Christ himself, the church will come through justification through Luther, through sanctification through Wesley, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Pentecostals, and grow right into the perfection of the Son of Man, that when husband and wife will be the self-same persons, God will be so manifested into his bride, his church, till they'll both be the same. They are one. Now you see where we're at. Now listen, if God did that through William Branham, and the bride has got to be that, then is he the only one to do that? Because if you don't, if God does not manifest himself through you, and we're going to find out what that manifestation is, there's no rapture for you. I'm sorry, if you're a church person, you're not going to make it. If you're fussing and stewing and holding on to grudges, you're not going to make it. If you can't move on with God, you're not going to make it. When they asked Jesus in John 6:28, and if you open your ears to a bunch of gossip, you're not going to make it. Now, in John 6:28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That means to believe every word. Every word. Not just take your pick and choose which ones that you think you'd like to hold on to. The Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, now, you can see now the end time message, why it's rejected. Can you? Now, no denomination, but the revelation of his mystery. See, no denomination, the revelation. God's not known by denomination, he's known by revelation. Now look, God in his body, Christ, and Christ, you know, God in his body, which is Christ, and Christ in his body, which is the bride. Oh my. God made manifest in Christ, Christ made manifest in the bride. And as God took from the body of Adam and the woman, and she fell, then God has took from the body of Christ his flesh, his body, which is his word, and he's bringing a bride out that won't fall by denomination or creed, no sir, but she's coming back to a pure, unadulterated word of God being manifested. I hope every man that hears this tape and every woman will understand that. See, she's the second Eve, but she's not breaking and spoiling her skirts of purity and holiness to her husband. She'll stay with this word regardless of what anybody else says. And from things that are to be, notice, she'll stay with this word regardless of what anyone else says. From things that are to be. Now, if we are those attributes of God, we cannot live by creeds. We cannot live by denominationalism. We must live by the word. Because the bride is a part of the bridegroom, like any wife is a part of her husband. Therefore, we must be that word bride. And what is that word bride? The manifestation of this hour, the bride, not a creed or denomination, but a living article of God, a living attribute of God, displaying to the world the attributes of God in the formation of the bride that's to be expressed in this hour that we're now living. Martin Luther could not express the attributes that we express, because that was in the beginning, the resurrection, like the corn of wheat that went into the ground. And from invisible union, he said, Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, St. John 14:12, Joel 2:38, those promises is just exactly like John the Baptist identified himself in the scripture. Jesus identified himself. What did they say? Away with such a person. John's a wild man. Well, they say that about me. I'm sorry, I'm going to talk a little bit frank this morning. The church wasn't able to receive it. That's the pattern. Neither will the church receive it today, but to the elected, God's calling, to the elected, they know it. Calling the virtuous bride, the Word, the last day church, the elected lady of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. If Jesus is the Word, how many believes that? All right. Then the bride is always part of the bridegroom. So the bride will not be a denomination. It'll have to be the Word manifested to be the bride of Christ. He promised to do it. He said how that he would do it. And from church choosing of a bride. Now remember, all these quotes are Brother Branham showing that the bride and Christ are one, like your fingers one. I mean, we are one. You know, we are one. Well, I shouldn't say like your fingers one, but we are one like a husband and wife is one. All right? From choosing of a bride, he said, now remember now, a man and his wife are one. Would you join yourself to a person like that? If you would, it would certainly kind of disappoint my faith in you. He's talking about these worldly women and stuff. And then how about God joining himself to something like that? A regular denominational prostitute. You think that he would do it? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? He would never do it. She must have his character in her. The real, true, born-again church must have a character that was in Christ, because the husband and wife are one. And if Jesus did only that which pleased God, kept his word and manifested his word, his bride will have to be the same kind of character. She could not by no means be a denomination, because then no matter how much you wanted to say no, she's controlled by the board somewhere that tells her what to do and what she can't do, and many times a million miles off of the true word. I've never run herd on anyone in this church. Brother Brown said, their big churches will do it. The board will tell the pastor, you can do this, you can't do that, you can do this, you can't do that. I don't believe in that. People want to say, well, you know, you heard somebody gossiping and you didn't do anything about it. Or you heard somebody, you knew that somebody, drank some alcohol because you're not doing anything about it. I said, how did I hear about it? Or how did I know about it? Well, I told you. I said, well, why didn't you do something about it? Well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to do that. I'm sorry, brother, sister. The pastor is not supposed to be so involved that he dictates to you what you should do and what you cannot do. The Bible says when the Holy Ghost comes, he will lead you into all truth. If you got the Holy Ghost, then you answer to God. That's it. You don't answer to me. I'm not here to be a babysitter. And I'm not here to correct you if I think that you're gossiping. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost do that. Because he said, if you be any otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. People want somebody to hold their hand. I will not hold your hand. I'm sorry. God will hold your hand. And that's the only hand you need to hold on to. I'm trying to get you independent from me as a pastor and from anyone who would control you. I want you to be controlled by the Holy Ghost and Him alone. I'm just your brother. I'm not above you. I'm not below you. So don't try to make me into something that I'm not. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
All right, I'm just preaching. So what does he mean when he says that the bride must be of the same character as Jesus Christ and she must manifest the word as he manifested it? Well, the word manifested, according to Webster's Dictionary, means able to be seen, clearly shown or visible, easy to understand or recognize, readily perceived by the senses and especially by the sense of sight, easily understood or recognized by the mind, obvious. So when someone comes to me and says, do you see Jesus Christ in me? And I say, no, I don't. I'm sorry. Oh, now you're a mean-spirited person. You should have given them an answer that would have been, you know, made them feel good and walk away. Yeah, and get lost in the process? Huh? In other words, it's not a guessing game. It is readily or easily perceived or understood. When someone looks at your life, they ought to be able to know that you are a Christian. Because Christian means Christ-like. How many times have I had people come up to me in my family and they say, I perceive that you're Christians. It's happened dozens and dozens of times. Strangers, complete strangers. Even Brother Branham's brother Jesse came up to us in the park one day and he said, Brother, I perceive that you're a Christian. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, what do you believe? I said, we believe that God himself has come down in this hour and that he used a man named William Branham to return us to the Word of God. And he said, that was my brother. And he said, I believe God is still here because he said, I was laying in the hospital. I was going to have I had a heart attack. I had a heart condition. I was going to be operated on my heart. And I felt a hand on my chest. And I looked. I couldn't see anyone there, but I felt this hand on my chest. He said, and then they came in and they did more whatever. And he said, they released me from the hospital. No more heart problems. Jesus Christ is here, brother, sister. Are you reflecting the presence of the one who's here? In other words, it's not a guessing game. If Brother Branham is saying the bride will manifest Christ, it's not then, oh, I'm manifesting because I got the right doctrine. I'm manifesting because I got the right theology. I'm a Christian because I go to so-and-so's church. Uh-uh. You go to hell thinking that. Does your life show the reality of a living Jesus Christ in it? If it doesn't, get to your knees. We find the Apostle Peter tell us in 2 Peter 2 and 1 and 3, according as his divine power, that's his gospel, his good news, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Glory, the opinion, the values, the doctrine. I mean, the opinions, values, and judgments of God. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature. Well, what's divine mean? It's from deity. It means God, the God nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The divine nature, the very character, and the very life of the divine. What a promise. And how can you have it and not manifest it? That's what I ask. That's a question I have all the time. People all the time. I'm in the message. I believe the prophet. I believe God. And they live like devils. They live like devils. Listen, I knew people in the Catholic Church that had a better life and a better testimony of Jesus Christ than I've met people in this message. I'm not railing on the message people. God has the cream of the crop in this message, but there's also the devil has his cream in this message as well. Show me what denomination amongst the Baptists, the Episcopalians, the Methodists, The Pentecostals have as many weird doctrines as you see flying around in this message. And strange living. I mean, we got people in this message preaching polygamy. We got people in this message preaching all kinds of really strange. Heard one this morning where there's four. Remember Ham, Shem, and Japheth? There's three. Races of men. Well, there's now a fourth one because apparently the serpent and his wife made it into the ark as well. I mean, that's what people are teaching. Goofy stuff like that. This message is the hold of every foul bird. Every foul bird. No different from Catholicism. No different from the Vatican. Brother Bram said in 1950s, he said, you know, that Pentecost in 50 years caught up to all the weird stuff that happened. It's not exactly his words, but he said basically they caught up to all the fanaticism that was in the Catholic Church. What about this message? 50 years, and this message, it didn't even take 50 years. Brother Brown, before he left the scene, he said there's already 17 different versions of this message. What about the divine nature? What about the very character and life of the Son of God living in your life? It's supposed to manifest. It's, you know, the word manifest, as I read, it means simply it's there. It's easy. It's readily, it's easily perceived and understood. Able to be seen, clearly shown, clearly visible. Easy to understand or recognize, readily perceived by the senses and especially by the sense of sight. Easily understood or recognized by the mind. It's obvious. It's obvious. When Paul said in Hebrews 6 that we must leave aside the principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go on to perfection, you know what he meant? Some say, well, it means to just stop fussing with one another. Well, that's a nice thought. And I wish that was true. But God's vindicated prophet told us what it actually means. In a sermon where he explained Hebrews 6, Brother Branham said, Paul said, let us go on to perfection now. We're talking about perfected, and if we'll run this down, you'll find out the perfected is the elected. All right, now that you've got the doctrine, let's start looking at your election. What's that? Are you a son of God or are you not a son of God? Were you in him before the foundation of the world or are you not in him before the foundation of the world? Were you ordained? Were you predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ or were you not? Let's start looking at the things that are for the election only. Let's go on to perfection now. We're talking about perfected, and if we'll run this down, you'll find out the perfected is the elected. I'll prove it to you in a few minutes by the Bible. It's the elected who God, before the foundations of the world, seen every one of them, and he sent Jesus to redeem the people, not the whole world. He wanted to, but he had to make a way for those. And the only way that he could do was to send Christ, that he might come, the propitiation of our sins, that those who've been elected, that he could bring to him in glory. Could you imagine God running his office so loosely as to say, well, maybe somebody will think real sad about me and maybe they'll come and get saved. God don't have to beg you to do nothing. Any begging, you need to do the begging, not God. That's why I say, this message is full of hothouse plants. The pastor has to send out texts to remind people that we have church. Why? Because it's not in your heart to get ready for rapture. If God were truly in your heart, you'd be busting the doors down to get in. Because one of these days, I believe we'll be assembled together and we'll get our call and we'll go home. Like Jesus says in the parable where he says the invitation went out to come to the wedding supper and some said, well, you know what? I've got to do this first. I got to do this first. Well, I got to go bury this person. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. I've got to put my farming seed. I'm a farmer. I got to put my seed in the ground. What's our excuse? I'm preaching pretty hot today. But it's not Brian Kosorik preaching. This is the Holy Ghost. It's too late an hour, brother, sister, to be focused on any person except for Jesus Christ and yourself. Don't be focused even on your wife and her on you. You be focused yourself on yourself. And are you pleasing to the Lord Jesus? Are your motives, are your objectives right? And just remember this, the greatest lie is 99% true. 99% true. But it's got a twist. From the Message Faith, Brother Brown said, Christianity is not a bluff. It's something that is real. God is so real. Too many people have a wrong conception of Christianity. They think to be saved, you have to look through Brother So-and-so's eyes. You have to think like he thinks, and that is so contrary to what Christianity is all about. From Secondhand Road, Brother Brown said, Christianity is not a mimic. It's not trying to be like Brother Vail or be like Brother Branham. Christianity is a life. Christianity comes by a birth that when you're born again of the Spirit of God and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away and all things become new. From the hidden life of Christ, Brother Ramsey, Christianity is a sacrificed life. Remember he said eternal life is living for others? Christianity is a sacrificed life. It's a hidden life with God through Christ, sealed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what the real Christian life consists of. Not of how well you can do this or how well you can sing. That's all right. How well you can preach. That's fine. But that isn't it. It's a hidden life consecrated, the veil, curtains dropped around you, and you're dead and you're buried and you're hid in God through Christ and sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. Amen. From Uncertain Sound, it says the principle of Christianity is the conditions of the heart towards God. From the Maniac of Gadara, he said, Christianity is not a debate, it's something to be lived. How many people want to say, well, we believe it this way, we believe it that way. Who cares what you believe? It's who do you believe? It's a life. It's not theology, brother, sister. People that hold on to theology and think that's their absolute, they're going to die in their theology. It's a life. From Turning Northward, he said, Christianity is a born-again experience, a baptism of the Holy Ghost, for fellowship and love and tolerance. Tolerance, oh yeah, tolerance. And the Holy Spirit takes over the church and does great things. The Holy Ghost couldn't do nothing in Jesus when he went to Nazareth. The Bible says he could not do one miracle because of the people's unbelief. Why do you think in this country we don't see the miracles? Because it's a gossip cesspool. And blood is thicker than water. Well, my family, they don't agree, so I'm not going to come. Listen, your family will go to hell. You want to go to hell with them? Is not the blood of Jesus Christ thicker than the blood of your family lines? I told this whole church not so long ago, I said, you've got to come where I've come. And that's the place where you don't look to your family. My family's Catholic. Don't matter if my family's Catholic or your family's in the message. They're not in the message if the message isn't in them. It's not between you and your family. It's between you and God. Where do you stand with him? From Do You Now Believe, Brother Brown said, Christianity is a practice. It's a life. From Questions and Answers, Christianity is based upon to help one another, to do for one another, to be kind to one another, understanding to one another. Now, if you see your neighbor's mistake, you see where they went wrong, don't go wrong with them. But just pray for them. Just keep praying, and God will understand that. He'll make everything right. As I mentioned, When this church, many years ago, a certain brother came to me and said, well, brother so-and-so, he's drinking alcohol. I said, well, brother, did you pray for him? Well, you're supposed to go talk to him. You're the pastor. I said, brother, if I go talk to the brother, I said, it's going to make things worse because number one, he's going to say, well, who told you? Number two, he's not going to do it in your sight because I'll have to tell him who told. But that's not even how the scripture works. It says if you see a brother at fault, you go to that brother in the spirit of meekness. Not if you heard it from somebody else. If you heard it from somebody else, you're off the word for listening. That's right, you're out of church order, out of gospel order. It says if you see someone at fault, you in the spirit of meekness, go to the brother and considering it's you that's being talked to. In other words, brother, I might be mistaken what I saw, but I saw this firsthand. I didn't hear it from somebody else. I saw it. And could you explain to me what's going on? Because I don't want to accuse you of anything. That's how you handle it. Not go to the brother and say, well, I think that you're wrong because somebody's told me that you did this and you said this. And were you there, brother? Well, I believe it because he's my dad or he's my brother or he's my sister or whatever. But, brother, did you hear it yourself? You see, the Bible says, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Yeah, endure. You know what endure means? I think you all know what endure means. It means to put up with a lot. Why? Because they're all things in Christ. They are your brothers and sisters. Balaam was upset with Israel. He saw their dirty laundry and he wanted to post it. That's why I've had a policy in this church. We don't talk about other churches. I'm sorry, but when 30 people came down from another church, they talked about their church a lot. But you people in here, I've never seen you out there talking about other people's churches. If it has been, it's been very, very minimized. But we don't do that. Because what good does it do? Love covers a multitude of sin, a multitude of unbelief. If you don't know me as your pastor, then you don't know that I will not ride herd on you. I will not do, I refuse to do it. You say, well, aren't you your brother's keeper? Yeah, I am. If he needs help, I help him. And the best way I can help him if he has a problem, is I'll go to my father and I'll pray for him and I'll ask my father to go talk to him. Because when God will talk to that person, it gets done right. We've got evidence in this room that God did exactly that. And the person received the Holy Ghost some years later. And I told the brother, I said, brother, I said, if I have to go to talk to that person, I said, he's going to be upset that somebody squealed on him. He's going to develop an attitude. Number two, he's just going to hide it. He's going to continue to do it, but he's going to hide it from you and maybe from me and others in the church, but he'll continue to do it. But if God talks to him, it'll be done right. God will take the desire from his heart. That's the way God works. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's not the pastor riding herd. Steve and Patty have been with me the longest, through good times and bad times. We've seen plenty of the bad times. But never have I gone to people's houses to chew people out or to try to run herd over somebody. I don't do that. I'm sorry, I can't do that. It would break Scripture. No. Brother Brown said, Christianity is based upon to help one another, Do for one another. Be kind to one another. Understanding to one another. And if you see your neighbor's mistake, now this is the key here. You see where they went wrong. Don't go with them and just pray with them. Or excuse me, don't go wrong with them. Don't start accusing them. Pray for them. Just keep praying and God will understand that. He'll make everything right. Now, amongst Christianity, we have a song called Sweet Hour of Prayer. And yet I doubt that the average Christian in this message even prays an hour a week, much less an hour a day, or much less an hour three times a day. Daniel opened his shutters three times a day. Many of the prophets, many of the wise men, men like Peter, they prayed three times a day. My goodness, the Muslim prays more than that a day. And he's not afraid to let others know that that's what he's doing right now. I mean, they'll block the entire streets in France to pray. And yet we can't find the time to build a relationship with our Savior. And we call ourselves Christians. Jesus himself, being filled with God, went away to pray. Brother Branham, every morning, got up to go out to pray. And Brother Branham said, praying is one thing you can't do enough of. And my advice to you is, before you criticize somebody, pray for that person. Brother Branham said the same thing. He said, if you got a criticism about somebody, he said, you go pray for that brother. And he said, and if you really come in contact with God, you won't have that feeling anymore. So who's at fault? You having the feeling, or the one who you think did something or should have done something? I'm sorry, but I see a very immature Christianity amongst the message people. Amongst some elements of Pentecost, you find much better Christians. And I'm going to tell you something. You find people living a better Christian life in the Catholic Church. You see, the Catholic Church, they're heathens. Let me tell you something. I know some fine Christians in the Catholic Church. They believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They don't buy the baloney about the Pope and all that other garbage. They're good people. And they don't go around gossiping. They don't go around trying to establish their little takeover spirit of churches and things like that. They just live a good, godly Christian life. They raise their children up well. They educate their children. They help their children to get a good hold of their future so that they can compete in this world. Good people. Much better than a lot of people I've met in this message. In fact, I will say this. From the Catholic people I knew, I would say some of them live much better lives than most of the people I've met in this message. Because they don't have this attitude of this us against them attitude. They're very tolerant. They don't try to dictate to everybody what they should do and what they shouldn't do. So who's going to be there? Brother Bramson, you're going to be surprised who makes it and who doesn't. From Choosing Law for Grace, he said, remember the other brothers pulling for some covers too. The blanket's big enough for both of you. God made it that way. Don't jerk it all and wrap yourself up in it and say, freeze to death. If you're cold, let me help you. When it comes to a place you don't want to help a fallen brother, you think he's fallen, help him some way. Stand between the gap. Gap up the way with love. That's the cement that puts the church of God together, is the cement of God's holy love among brothers. This will all men know that you're my disciple when you belong to the assemblies. All men know that you're my disciple when you're oneness. Because you're the church of God. This will all men know that you're my disciple when you have love one for another. Not because, well, I sat under Brother Vail, so I'm God's disciple. Hogwash. Well, I'm part of the message. I believe the message, so that means that I'm a Christian. Hogwash. And many heathens in this message. Rank heathens. This will all men know that you're my disciple when you love one another. That's when we'll know. That's when the world will know that we're Christians. That's when the world will know that we're brethren and sisters, when we have love one for another. That's the mark of Christianity, is love for one another. When we get that, then God will begin to work among us and bring us milk and honey and great things. Why? It's good when we find out God's plan and move into it. I'll believe it or not, but my preaching this morning is because I love you. I love all of you, and I love those people who left this church. I've gone to them. They won't listen to me. They won't even answer my emails, my texts, or my telephone calls. So I just pray. That's all I can do. That day on Calvary, he said, oh, you feel that blessed spirit, that life? Paul said, not me that liveth, but it's Christ that's living in me. Just so automatic. Well, I tell you, Brother Branham, we're all Christians here. We help these people. We help them people. Oh my, shame on you. That's not Christianity. Christianity is just automatically it's to be done. And you just forget about it and go do it. Christ has completely surrendered his life to God. He gave himself as a public servant to the people. He gave his life freely. He didn't have to do it. He didn't begrudgingly do it. He didn't say, now, brother, you ought to think a whole lot of me because I come to die for you. He never said a word about it. He died anyhow because it was God in him. It's God in you. It's God in me that makes us look at others. From Christ is identified the saint. We have so many different forms of it that we call Christianity, but there's one Christianity. Christianity is not a denomination. It's not a group of people. Christianity is a person. That's Christ. And you are his subject. From calling Jesus on the scene, he said, now you know Christianity has changed so much in these last days. Now you've got to baby a person. Promise them a whole lot. Give them a whole lot to make them believe and come to church. And promise them that they'll have better associates and everything. That's not Christianity. Christianity is not baby. Christianity is rugged. Right. Christianity is not a hotbed plant. A hotbed plant is a hybrid plant mostly. You have to spray it all the time to keep the bugs off of it. That's because of its weakness. And that's the way that you have to do with a lot of Christians, kind of spray them with a lot of promises. You don't need it. A real, genuine, healthy plant don't need any spraying. The bugs stay off of it. That's why I say the younger generation especially had better beware. Because there's too much worldliness in the churches. There's too much groupism in this message. There's too much social activity, and we call it church. Church is where you come, the house of God, for correction. Doctrine is for correction first, and reproof, that's correction also. You understand? The early Christians were hardy people. Solid. They didn't get offended if somebody didn't see something their way. They had a personal revelation, and they walked in the light of that revelation. They didn't give two bits what anybody else thought. They were willing to stand alone. Now, Wednesday night, we read where Brother Branham said, the bride will stand alone. Even this morning, he said, we will stand alone. Jesus stood alone. He said, that's the way you have to do with a lot of Christians, kind of spray them with a lot of promises. Talk nice. Talk sweet. Wonder what you would do if this were Brother Branham standing here and preaching and calling out your sin like he did so many times when persons came up to the platform and he said, how dare you come to this platform? You were in adultery last Friday night, exposing their sin before the whole congregation. And people are so weak and so mushy as Christians today that they got offended when I told Michael, you're wrong, you're lying. And he came to me after the service and he said, yeah, I wasn't telling the truth. It wasn't there. He said, I don't have what you said. Now, was that the Holy Ghost or was that just a mean, ugly pastor up there? Even if it was a mean, ugly pastor, the truth is the truth. And 1 Timothy 5 and 20 says, rebuke openly before all those that are in sin. Rebuke openly. I'm not bringing up old stuff, but I'm saying this stuff's still going on. Have we become such weak Christians that we're afraid of truth? We've got to somehow wash it away and pat it down, and everybody should come and, Lord bless you, my brother, my sister. And we can talk so sweet and so perfumey. What about John the Baptist? When he told Herod he shouldn't have his brother's wife. And in the face of execution, he said it anyway. Huh? Are you willing to do the same? From the Queen of Sheba, he said, that's the only way you can be saved is by faith. You've got to look at the unseen, and the whole armor of Christianity is supernatural. The people, how can a man say that he believes in God and preaches in a church and says he does not believe in the supernatural? When the full armor of God, the full armor of Christianity is supernatural. What is the armor of Christianity? It's love and joy and peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, patience, faith, Holy Spirit. All those things are supernatural. What is love? What is joy? Go down to the drugstore and buy me a quarter's worth. I need it right now. See, you can't buy love. You can't buy joy or peace or long-suffering or goodness, patience, and gentleness, faith. You can't buy it. It's supernatural. And the whole armor of a Christian is supernatural. And we're bidden by the Scriptures to put on the whole armor of God, to be girded about the whole armor. And yet, people mock me because of what God did over there in Africa. They mock me. They mock this church. Oh, you're the rainbow people. I'm proud of that. Proud in a way of Him. That God did show Himself. It wasn't about me. It's about Him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, we're shocked if God does something supernaturally. Oh, we better watch that thing. I'm going to tell you something. If you got that condition in your heart, you're lost. You're not saved. You're lost. This is the hour of a supernatural God with a supernatural people. The problem is that we're given just a measure. That's the problem. We're given just a measure while Jesus had it without measure. But just because you have love in a measure, just because you might have joy in a measure, just because you might have peace in a measure, just because you might have goodness in a measure, just because you might have long suffering in only a measure, it doesn't mean that you haven't got it. You understand? Now, you might have more love and less goodness, or more goodness and less love. But even Brother Vail misunderstood that. He said, Brother Branham, I don't have that love. He said, yes, you do, Brother Vail. He said, do you do things for people because of the Word of God's sake? He said, yes, all the time. He said, that is love. It's getting yourself out of the way. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's what love is all about. It's letting go and letting God. It's letting Him have the preeminence. It's doing for others, even though you don't feel like doing it. It's doing because there's something your heart is doing. Now look, we all come short on things. There's none that is righteous, no, not one. That's what the Bible says. Paul said, as long as we're living in the body of this death, we're going to struggle with it. Brother Branham said, there's no perfection this side of the resurrection. So why are people looking for perfection? Well, you're the pastor. You should be perfect. That's what my wife tells me all the time. I'm sorry, sister. I am who I am. By the grace of God, I'm saved. I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. From here I am. But you'll never isolate yourself and get anything from God. What'd he say? You'll never isolate yourself and get anything from God. Because you've got to not imitate or impersonate. You've got to have it. That's exactly right. There's too much pretension of Christianity, pretending, so-called Christianity. But Christianity is not nothing you pretend. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. The devil knows whether that you've got it or not. He knows all about it. No matter how much you can put on a great psychological effect on the outside, the devil knows just how deep that is, and he stands and he laughs at you. Certainly, he knows he has got you whipped to begin with, but when God, in the stillness of his spirit, has placed it in you, the devil can't stand on that ground. He can't guile that sand with his dirty hoofs, certainly. He can't come to that place because it's a place where God and man meets alone. See, now, like the Son of God, like all the water that was in the water, in the whole world was a spirit that was within him. He had the spirit without measure, but we have it by measure. Is that not what the scripture says? That's right. I'm sorry. I apologize, everybody. I only have it by measure. Would you forgive me, Steve? Don, would you forgive me? I only have it by measure. Justin? Nick? Nathan? Josh? I apologize. I'm not Jesus Christ. If I see you sitting around doing something that you shouldn't be doing, if I do come to you, it'd be privately. It won't be in front of everybody like people want you to grandstand and say, oh, you're all gossiping at this table. You shouldn't be doing that. No. Even Jesus talked to the woman at the well by herself. He didn't make a public show of it. No. That's for grandstanders. I'm not that way. From Elijah and Elisha. But a Christian is an individual experience. A man born again of the Spirit of God makes a Christian. Not a cold confession, going to church and living. Your fruits tell what you are. Is that right? It's true. From Jesus, on the authority of the word, he said, but Christianity is a living being in mankind. That's the proof of the resurrection of God's Son, who was God with us. In other words, Paul said in Romans 8:11, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, what's it going to do? It's going to quicken your mortal body. That's this visible piece of flesh. It's going to quicken that. To what? Make it alive. From I Will Restore. Therefore, Christianity is based on resurrection, that when we come back to this earth again, I won't be some kind of an angel with wings flopping. I'll be a man just like I am now, resurrected. From Be Not Afraid, he said, Christianity is self-denial. Take up your cross daily. Follow him. Die out to the things of the world. And when all condemnation is gone, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. How do you get into him? By joining? By shaking hands? No. By union? By education? No. By one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. By Holy Spirit baptism we're in Christ. And there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And from Awakening Jesus, the whole armor of Christianity is faith. Everything that we have seen is unseen. The only things that's real is unseen, unexplained. The things that can be explained are not real. They are superficial and they die. But the things that cannot be explained are immortal. The whole realm, look at the armor of Christianity. Love. What part of you is love? Joy. Faith, long-suffering, meekness, patience. See, none of those things. You can't see them. They're unseen, but yet we believe them. Love never dies. Faith is the victory. We believe things that we don't see. And as the eagle stirs her nest, Christianity is based upon resurrection. Again, the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 8:11, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit will quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. From Corinthian Book of Correction, Paul says, Brother Master, now Paul was trying to get this to those Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I wouldn't have you be ignorant how that our fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea and were baptized unto Moses. Every one of them went into the wilderness. Jesus said, not all that saith Lord, Lord will enter therein, but the one that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It isn't what you say. You could preach the gospel and still be lost. Certainly. This is not just some little kid stuff. This is absolutely, it's deep. And Christianity is not to be a little saint. Like, well, I go to church and I know it's my duty to go. That's not Christianity, brother. Christianity isn't. It's something that God has done. God has chosen you in Christ and presented you as a love gift to Christ, and it's God, it's calling, it's election. And from Sirs, we would see Jesus. God humbles himself. God in humility. The man that can humble himself is on his road up. He that exalts himself is on the road down, always. So we must remember that Christianity is not pushing ahead and trying to get ahead of this fellow, but stepping back and taking the back seat, see? Letting the other's fellow go on. That's Christianity. Humble yourself. If they sue you at the court and take your coat, give him the cloak also. If he compels you to go a mile, go two. If he smites one on the cheek, turn the other. He was our example in every way that we should be. And if that life can reflect in us, people will see Christ in you. You see, when they can see that. Brothers and sisters, that is what Brother Branham was talking about when he speaks of the bride manifesting the character of Christ. Remember, manifest means it's easy to be seen. So when they revile you, do you revile back? Jesus didn't. From the message, pardoned. And I'm not up here reviling people. I'm going to tell you something. I might be giving you a good gospel spanking. But it's needed. It's needed. Because people are too mushy-mushy, wishy-washy. Oh, the brother offended me. He said this and he said that. And so what? As a child, didn't you say sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me? Huh? You knew more as a child than you know now as an adult? Good grief. From the message, pardoned. Now, if the Bible predicts that the hour would come when the church will get into the same tradition that they were in their rituals, here it is again, traditional religion, powerless. Oh, they said, them were communists. No, they wasn't. Having a form of godliness, they go to church. They join church. They try to make long showing that they go to church and things and go out and live different. There's no fire in their soul. There's nothing. They're not interested in anybody else. Everybody else can die and go if they want to. We feel that we're saved. Let the rest of them go. That isn't real Christianity. Christianity is to go after the lost. Go get that brother. Go do something about it. And we stand and fold our hands, even if we claim that we are saved, and see men and women dying on every hand. And so people complain. They say, well, you preached against adultery. You waited till the people left, and then you preached against adultery. I'm going to tell you something. Steve's my witness. He's been with me since the beginning. I preached against adultery probably a dozen times a year at least. 330 times I've actually preached against using the word adultery. 308 times, something like that, against fornication. And divorce, I preached against that 168 times, something like that. Anyway, about 1,000 times I've hit those things. Over 100 in the past year and a half. And if you want to go back even before that into the Spoken Word's original seed, probably about 50, 60 times just in that sermon alone. In that series alone. I don't change because there's people sitting in the church that are or not. I preach the word. It's up to them to know where they stand with God. That's it. That's it. From hearing him, he said, real Christianity is a living experience. From discerning the body of the Lord, he said, Christianity is an experience and a life. From images of Christ, what a difference of the so-called reflecting Christian today. What a difference. Why? The so-called Christian today wants to be served. Oh, he begins to think that he's somebody. What a difference from it was with his reflecting him. He never come to be ministered to. He come to minister. Let he that is greatest among you be the servant of all. And we have seen today that our modern trend of Christianity is I'm somebody and you're nothing. Oh, it's wrong. It should not be that way. We are trying to reflect Christianity in the wrong way. God doesn't want us to do it that way. We sing the song to be like Jesus, but when it comes to humbling our pride and to get down like he did, that's where we draw the line. And in doing so, man has formed denominations that they can separate themselves, seemingly not having the Spirit, as the scripture says. They separate themselves. We belong to a certain church. It's a bigger church. It's a better church. Our denomination is a greater denomination. That doesn't act like Jesus. That doesn't reflect his love and his personality. He came to the lowest, to the street harlot, to the beggar, to the bum, and got right down in the dust with them. That's the Christian life. That's the way it should be, to reflect Him in that way. Listen, I've been criticized by many because I had Brother Glenn here leading songs and he had been married and divorced. I was criticized. Glenn was a very good song leader. His marital condition has nothing to do with whether he could lead the songs or not. And the fact is, Brother Branham had Gene and Leo were his friends. I mean, when Brother Branham said, "Billy, we're going to go visit Gene and Leo," they were homosexuals. And he said, "What do you want to go see them for?" He said, "Because they're my friends. I have friends, good friends, that are married and divorced. It has nothing to do with my love for them." Brother Dave Osmick led songs for Grace Gospel for a number of years in the beginning. He was married and divorced. Brother Borders was married and divorced. He led songs for Brother Branham. In fact, he was even a campaign manager for Brother Branham. Did some preaching for him. The only office that speaks about that is a deacon. A deacon must be the husband of one wife. Doesn't even talk about a treasurer. You see, don't give me your opinion unless your opinion is backed up by the Scripture. If you can come and say, "Well, Brother Brian, the Scripture says this, what about it?" I say, "Okay, I didn't see that." Or, "Yeah, I consider that, but I also consider this other Scripture." Like when Satan came to Jesus and said, "You know, the Bible says," and he says, "Yeah, but it also says this." Like one time I was having a discussion with Brother Vail. I said, "You know, I don't understand why these ministers that are caught in the act of adultery, why they continue on in the ministry, why they don't step out of the ministry." He said, "There ain't no Scripture for that." I said, "Yes, there is. The Bible says fruits meet for repentance." But no, they don't even step down for a week. They just continue on. Where's your fruits meet for repentance? Like Brother Brown said, on Friday night they're playing in the band. On Sunday they're singing in the choir. We're playing in the church. Fruits meet for repentance. Amen? We have got to come to the place where everything we do is based on "Thus saith the Lord." That's what the prophet said the bride would be. She would have "Thus saith the Lord," or she would keep still. I'm not interested in your opinions. I hope you're not interested in my opinions. But I hope you are interested in the Word of God, because that's what we're standing on. And as you know, my sermons are 85% quotes or Bible. Probably more than that, probably higher than that. You see very little black in here, which would be my own thoughts. I stand on what Brother Branham said, and I take it to the Scriptures. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in all the little folly going on, all the gossip going on, all the little triffles and truffles and hurt feelings. I could care less about them. Grow up. I went through boot camp. See if you went through boot camp. They treat you soft and gentle. They were pretty tough, weren't they? I think you all need boot camp. I went through boot camp. And believe me, they cut you no slack. Well, we're in God's boot camp. Fortunately, God gave you a drill instructor. Amen. No, he says, to be like Jesus, when it comes to be humble or pride, and get down like that, then we draw the line. And in doing so, man has formed denominations that they can separate themselves, seemingly not having the Spirit, as the Scripture says. They separate themselves. They separate themselves because seemingly they haven't got the Spirit. We belong to a certain church. It's a bigger church. It's a better church. Our denomination is a greater denomination. That doesn't act like Jesus. That doesn't reflect His love and His personality. He came to the lowest, to the street harlot, to the beggar, to the bum, and got right down in the dust with him. That's the Christian life. When's the last time you put your arm around a total unbeliever and said, "Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about how you can get out of this rut that you're in." From we would see Jesus said, we have taught Christianity in the line of psychology, many of us, and we've taught in the line of some theology of our churches and our denominations. But let me say this, Christianity goes a million miles beyond that. Christianity is presenting a living and a present day Jesus, just the same as He was then, or the Scriptures are wrong. We must face the fact that Christ said these things. Now, John 14:12, Jesus said, "Whosoever believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." That's one. Listen. When the Bible was written, it was written like a letter. It wasn't written with a verse here and the next verse here and a paragraph there. A monk, a Catholic monk, put it together that way. So when people say, well, John 14:12 is different from John 14:13. No, it isn't. John 14:13 is the explanation of what he just said. When he said, if you're a real believer, then the things that I do, the works that I do, the actions I do, the way I talk, the way I speak, you shall do those same things. And therefore, just like I ask the Father and he does it, you'll ask the Father and I'll do it for you. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you hold him to that? I do. I do. I hold him to that. I know you're not a liar, God. I know you're not a liar. But you said if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. I need a job. And you're my Father. And if you can't provide for me a job, that would make you worse than an infidel. And I know that you're not. So I'm asking you to give me the job. So what works did he do? He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He comforted those who were down. He did all those things. Remember we went through that? All those attributes of the Son of God. From impersonation of Christianity, he said, now we find so many people trying to impersonate Christianity. Christianity doesn't mean joining a church. Christianity is an experience. From Jehovah Jireh, and now that's the way that Christianity is. When a man is or a woman or a child is born of the Spirit of God, then everything you have need of in this world and the world to come is given to you when you receive the Holy Spirit. And you're planted in Christ, and to my estimation of Christ, he is the inexhaustible fountain of life. And you just are planted in him and drink and drink and push out and push out and drink and push out and drink and push out. For everything you have need of is in him. The only thing you have to do is get thirsty and go to drinking, and it'll produce just exactly what the seed is. If it's God's promise, God promised to do it. God's obligated to it, and he will do it. From Jubilee Year, and he said, and today that same kind of religion that we have has branched off till it's become so patterned, till it's a Hollywood show almost. Now, you know that's the truth. And we go into a place, set up a big band of music and play music and carry on and act like pretending Christians, but go to them and cross one up one time and watch what you get, see? Christianity is long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience. Is that right? Christ, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Is that right? Christianity is the life that a man lives. It's a personal experience. I'll tell you how you'd know if a person's a real Christian or not. Just test them. Say something they don't want to hear. Stroke them the opposite way. Brother Vail did that to people all the time to see what kind of person you were. He did it all the time. All the time. Constantly testing. Yeah, like Brother Brown said, you cross one of them up one time and watch what you get. Do you still get love in return? Come on. No, I get hurt feelings. I'm not going to go to church anymore. Fine, I don't care. I really don't care. As a shepherd, I probably should. So that's a weakness. You pray for me. But I really don't care, because if I end up preaching to the four posts of this church, I'll be, as long as I'm pleasing him, that's all I worry about. I'm not here to please you. I'm sorry, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to put on a show. I'm here to preach from my heart. And if it's the last time, and every time I take this pulpit, I come up saying, Lord, if this be the last time I ever have an opportunity to address these people, I'm going to speak the truth. And if you can't appreciate that, then who needs you? I'm sorry, who needs you? If you're just here to put on a show, do your religious duty, come pay your tithes and come to church once a week, you know, I'm sorry. But if you want to know the truth, and the truth will set you free, that's what I'm here for. If it takes a little shaking of the wind sometimes to let the roots grow deeper, then let it be. There ain't going to be a whole lot of people make the rapture anyway, I'll tell you that. And God's provided a way of healing, and it's coming down. I think we're living in the last few years at the most. Last maybe year and a half. I've been looking for the coming of the Lord for years, but I didn't understand the things that I understand now. Everything's ready to fall apart. Everything. It's on the verge. Even look, they're expecting, I mean, you know, there's over 5,000 earthquakes, I think it's a day, in the Yellowstone. That cauldron, if that cauldron goes, this country is just so darkened that they say for 40 years. That's the largest cauldron on earth. That's ready to go. The great rock in La Palma is ready to go. They've actually started evacuating the island. You know, if that slides in because of the volcano that's ready to go there, if that slides down, I've even read novels written about it where they put that in. That's the fact. If that falls in, they're estimating a 500-foot tidal wave that'll hit the East Coast and, 159 feet or 169-foot tidal wave that'll hit the East Coast traveling at 5 to 600 miles per hour. It'll take 9 hours from the moment that goes, that falls into the, and that's only, what, a 400-mile-long piece of rock. What about when California goes 1,500 miles by 400 miles wide? When that goes, what's it going to do? Brother Brown said there, that when that goes, he said, it'll shoot tidal waves plumb up to Kentucky. We are living on the grace of God right now because we're not ready. The bride is not ready. It's time that we start praying every day without ceasing. It's time that you start carrying the message with you and listening to it. Getting your hearts right, because as long as you're listening to the prophet, you seem to have the right thoughts. You seem to do the right things. It's just time we start just immersing ourselves in one mind, and that is to get ready to go home. Am I pleasing to God? Am I not pleasing to God? Don't worry about the politics and the foolish stuff that goes on and people's feelings and everything else. Forget them. If they want to continue to go on that way, they'll be lost. I'm telling you, they won't make a rapture. They will not. The only ones going to make the rapture are the ones who have the mind of Christ, who are so in tune with His Spirit. Because Brother Brown said the rapture will take place, it'll be passed right through you if you're not aware. If you're not aware. So, you know, fill yourself up with YouTube and with all this, Netflix and all this other stuff. Fill yourself up with that, you're not going to make a rapture. Those are distractions. The devil is doing everything he can to distract you. What is Netflix? What is Hulu Plus? What are all these things? It's just TV through a computer. That's all it is. It's all it is. From God's provided way of healing. And notice, and no man can have faith for healing until it's revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he's going to get well. You might stumble at it. You might go through life living a good Christian life. You might belong to some church. You might have a fine membership. You might be a moral character and all of that. But that still isn't Christianity. Christianity is when the Holy Ghost has taken full possession of you and you're led by the Holy Spirit. No matter how good, how moral, how good a church member, Cain was just as good as any church member. So was Esau, a fine cultured gentleman. So was Cain, very religious, believed in God, made sacrifices, built a church altar, done all the things that's religious, and God refused him. No man can say Jesus is the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Peter has been justified and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd even preached the gospel, but Jesus told him, after that you're converted, then strengthen your brother. See, after you're converted. Conversion is the Holy Spirit that moves the old nature out, and the new nature comes in, which is the Holy Ghost. And when a man has truly been born of the Spirit of God, he has everlasting life. Jesus said so. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, no man can say it except by the Holy Ghost. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but has passed from death unto life. That's what he said. I believe him, don't you? From rising of the sun. I am he that was dead, so dead till the sun said that he was dead, the moon said he was dead, the stars said he was dead, and all nature said he was dead. And now the whole world has to recognize that he's alive again. He was not only the mechanics, God's word, he was the dynamics to prove it. And if he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him, and it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelation and the others that spoke of the bride, and it can only manifest. And if it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride, because she's flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. A man and a woman are one, and woman taken from his side, she was taken, his spirit, the feminine spirit from him, and the flesh from his side, made both mechanics and dynamics, the wife, the spirit of him, and the flesh of him, and put it together and made mechanics and dynamics. In other words, if you're not the same as Jesus Christ, forget it. You're a church member. That ought to get you on your face before God. From Future Home, he said, now the Methodist said, when you shout, you got it. A lot of them shouted and didn't have it. The Pentecostal said, when you speak in tongues, you got it. Many spoke in tongues and didn't have it. Look how all kinds of forms those Pharisees had. But when the word was made manifest, they didn't recognize it. See? And if you are the bride is a part of the husband. And if the only place that you'll ever recognize it is recognize what part of that husband, that word that you are, or you can recognize being the bride, how many sees that? See? You have to recognize your position. You can't recognize somebody else's. Now listen. This is why I'm so opposed to those people who have put up a fence around Brother Lee Vail. And they put up a fence around Brother Branham, because if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ yourself, it matters not whose coattail you're trying to ride in. Because it won't do you one speck of good. You'll be lost just the same. And unless you are born again, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So no new birth, no personal relationship with Jesus Christ, no rapture. It's just that simple. From Identified Christ of All Ages, we're just about done. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to see the risen Messiah, 1900 years of all kinds of theology and movements, but still in the darkness of it all. You promised that you would appear here in the last days, in this Sodom day, and you'd make yourself known to the children of Abraham, the called and elected. And here you are tonight, after 1900 years, you're just as much alive tonight as you was when you walked to the woman at the well, or you talked to the woman at the well. It's God manifested in the flesh, now in the flesh of his bride, for the bride and the husband is the self-same flesh. These two are one. And the church is becoming the bride all the time by believing the word, so that the word and the church becomes the same. The word in the church making it the bride. The last sign, God identified himself, the word in the church. From 3rd Exodus, he said, the life of Messiah manifesting, making a church ready, a bride, a woman marry a man and disagreeing with him. It would be some kind of a fuss continually. But when a man and his wife, his girlfriend, his spouse, when they're in perfect harmony, like one soul and one mind, because they're going to be one flesh, then when the church can get in such harmony with God until the manifestation of the bridegroom is manifested in the bride, because they're going to be one. Oh, what a great lesson. What did he just say there? Until the manifestation of the bridegroom is manifested in the bride. From Works as Faith Express. Then the works that the Holy Spirit is doing today by these visions never failing, promises never failing, all the apostolic signs promised in the Bible of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10 and 7, all of that is being fulfilled and proved by scientific every other way. And if I haven't told you the truth, these things would not happen. But if I have told you the truth, they bear record that I've told you the truth. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the manifestation of his spirit is catching away his bride. Let that faith revelation fall into your heart that this is the hour. Now, what does this mean? The manifestation of his spirit is catching away the bride. It means the manifestation of what we saw God working and manifesting himself through a man in this hour is what will catch away a rapture or rapture the bride. And if that same spirit be in you that raised up Jesus from the dead, well, it will also quicken you. Right? It quickened William Branham to the same thing. It's got to quicken you to the same thing. From Events Made Clear by Prophecy, he said, it's the complete body of Jesus Christ, and in Christ, being the male, the groom, the bride is represented in him also, and these two are one. At that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father, me, I in you, and you in me. What a complete picture. And the true believers in this word, who accept it that way, believe it, and with patience wait for its prophesied promises, every one of them to be manifested in its age. Every believer has watched for it. Every believer that's been on their toes watching is the one it's been revealed to. From Trying to Do God a Service. And today he's standing among us in the person of the Holy Ghost, manifesting himself, more and more coming into his church, making himself known, because him and the bride and the groom will be the same, making himself known. And one day you'll see that the one that you feel in your heart and see his identification will become personalized before you. Then you and he are one. You've united by the Word, and the Word was in the beginning. We'll go back to the beginning, which is God. And that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Hallelujah, we're here. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to see Him personifying Himself right among us and see what He promised for the Word. Not what somebody else's emotions singing and jumping and dancing, but by His Word, amen, He's making Himself known. How? Through you. He already did it through a prophet. He's been gone 50 years. He's making Himself known now. How? Through you. Amen. God's provided a place of worship. Well, there's got to be a hallelujah. There's got to be, brother, there's somewhere God's manifested word, God's manifested word of God today. And that's the same thing. For He spoke of these days, and He said that what would take place in these days, He's already told us. We know what's going to be take place and seeing it being manifested in you. Then you're in God's church. Outside of that, you could call yourself Methodist, Baptist, or anything else. It'll never work. There was only one meeting place, and that was in Jesus Christ. And today, oh, how today that I would like that everybody would see that, see how to get in and be baptized. The bride is a part of her husband. The church is a part of the Word, the manifestation. And from end time, seed. I might say this, friends, the church is coming forth. God's going to have a church without spot or wrinkle, and she's predestinated to it. God said so, that He would have it. That makes it right. Who's a member? I don't know. I'm trusting to be myself. I'm trusting you are a member, but He's going to have a body without spot or wrinkle. And I believe that these latter days signs and things that's happening, every one of them is peeling together to show that Christ is already to come for His bride. It's God in His Word made manifest in a man, a perfect man. So is God and His Word coming again and making Himself manifested in a bride. Not will do like Eve did, hybrid it to something else, but the unadulterated Word of God will be born into that church, and she'll stand like Jesus Christ did with His Spirit anointing His Word. And from end time seed sign, he said, we believe that Christ is God's Word made manifest, and we believe that His bride must be the same thing. So is the Word of God manifesting in you? It's got to. We believe that she must believe every bit of the Word and have that Word in her, because she is a part of the Word. She is a body where He is the head. And when He died and rose from the dead and resurrected and set on high by the majesty of God on His throne, right hand of majesty, and we are His delegates, and we reckon ourselves dead and buried by baptism, raised with Him, and now seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That should get us all shouting, wouldn't it? Think of that. We are now. Now we are sons of God. Now we are daughters of God. Now we are seated in heavenly places. From the rapture, said, well, in Wesley's age, the works that he did testified who he was. In Luther's age, the Reformation, why, sure, it testified who he was. In the days of Pentecost, the restoration back of the gifts, speaking in tongues and casting out devils in gifts, why, it testified. There was no joke about it. People said, when it raised up, I read the books on the history of the Pentecost, they said, it can't last long, it'll burn down, it's still burning. Why? It's because you'll never put it out. God said it would be there. It's that portion of the Word, and no more could you put it out. And then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word made true. And we're living in that day, praise be to God, the revelation of the mystery of Himself. What is the revelation of the mystery of Himself? What is the manifestation of the revelation of the mystery of Himself? It's God in you. It's His life in you. It's Christianity, Christ-likeness in you. Now he said, the revelation of the mystery, and remember the word revelation means divine truth manifested. Then it's all about the manifestation. What would this message have been if William Branham came just teaching theology or doctrine? I'd still accept it, but because I was more interested in the doctrine than the manifestation. But without the manifestation, what have you got? And how do you know that it's right? So God sent him with the sign of Messiah and proved it's God's presence, and proved it by God's presence and by that it's God's message. Now, from God of the Seal Age. But in obedience and this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, the person here, off somewhere else, some other church, some other denomination, whatever it is, believes the Word of God, obedient, waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. She's watching for it, she's a part of it, and she's watching for her life to manifest that Word. Brethren, can't you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. The body is waiting for which is the Word, waiting for the life, which is the Spirit, to confirm or make it alive. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in her. She can't come to life any other way. Yes, she feels it out there, and she knows it's going to happen. Then here it is. Then she wakes up. God said, let there be, and she come forth like the first one come forth. In other words, it's got to come down. Look, if there's going to be a people who are ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, where is it? And they're predestinated to the adoption of children. Where is it? And they're manifested sons of God. Where is it? Oh, they all want to put it off to the millennium. Brother Branham said, you are now sons of God. See, John said that. Choosing of a bride. See, we choose by sight. God chose by character. Character. There never was a character like Jesus Christ that lives in him, manifests in him. We see it's true. It's not worldly beauty of him that attracts his bride. It is his character. The character of the church that Jesus looks for. Not whether it's big buildings, whether it's great denominations, whether it's big membership. He promised to meet with wherever two or three are gathered together. Truly. That's where the true believer rests. His hope is upon the word of God being vindicated in truth, which it is. Choose by his word. Not a worldly loving group. They hate that. No wonder she's divorced from him, because she missed his revelation and she don't have it. He cares not for her, the way that she acts and does, and how much of this worldly stuff she has. He's looking for character, the character of Christ. And from questions and answers, he said, who is your little queen in the home? She ministers food to you. Is that right? What you're late on now? But when she ministers to you, that's what the bride ministers to Christ, the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. See, she ministers the word to the king, manifesting his promised word in the age that she's living in now. Amen. I said something then, you didn't get it. But notice, that was a good one. See, ministering in the age of the word. In other words, Rebecca watered the camel, the same camel that packed her home. And Brother Brown said the bride will water the Holy Spirit that's in her. The same one that'll pack her home. So are you feeding the Holy Ghost within you? All right, just about done. From what shall we say with Jesus called Christ? He said God's body united as his bride, being one, him and Christ together, as the Spirit working in the flesh of the church like it worked in the flesh of Jesus Christ, because it's part of his body, not twain, but one. They are one. A husband and wife is no longer two, but one. And Christ and his body is one. And the same Spirit was in Christ is in his bride, which is his body, that unites them together with the word, and God living in there himself manifested. Now, from what shall we do with Jesus called Christ? He said, notice God's daughter, the church, the bride, is also a product of God and his word uniting, and the Holy Spirit uniting in a body of flesh. It produced the Son of God, a product of the righteous God, and in the last days, as we're told, as it was in the days of Sodom, the bride will be united with the word of God, made manifest in the flesh, a Holy Spirit sealing them into God and sealing out unbelief on the outside. And finally, from Christ the mystery God revealed, Brother Brown says, see, the threefold mystery now, God manifested in Christ, Christ manifested in the church altogether to bring back the original Adam and Eve again, man and woman, which are one, made out of the same blood, the same spirit, and everything else. Notice, now, some will say that Christ manifested in the church as Brother Branham, and I can buy that, but notice it is supposed to produce something, fellowship like it was in the garden, not just for him, but for the Christ and the bride. And from the spoken words original seed, he said, all right, now, here is what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction brings forth of its kind, Genesis 1:11. These last days, the true church bride comes to the headstone, will be a super church, a super race. As they near the great headstone, they will be so much like him, even they will be in his very image in the order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations can never produce this. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the word and bring a hybrid product. But notice he says they will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Are we? Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word today. We know that it was very strong, Father, but I know that it was you, Father, because your church, Father, has become such a hotbed plant that people get their feelings hurt and they just stop walking forward. But Father, we know that you're word is rugged and true, and it'll produce a bride. It'll produce a rugged bride, one who's willing to stand alone. And so, Lord, we just commit your word. We commit the words that were spoken, Father, and knowing that, Father, they weren't there to hurt. They were there to help. Because, Lord, knowing, my goodness, oh God, just knowing how weak the people are today, we just pray, Father, you just make them men. Make them soldiers of the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you.